name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Maximilian Kolbe was a martyr for charity. He was able to give his life to save the life of another prisoner, a father of a family who had been chosen to go to the bunker of death. A prisoner had escaped from the concentration camp, and the Germans chose 10 in his place to be punished by starvation. St. Maximilian Kolbe asked to replace one of them, and to the commander of the camp, who asked him who he was able to say, "I am a Catholic priest." From that day on, his memory was engraved in the hearts of all the people on the field. Everyone considered him an extraordinary man. Even the Germans themselves admitted that they had never seen someone like him, not even among the priests. His living testimony continues to shine to this day, and will shine for centuries to the end of time. St. Maximilian Kolbe was a holy man who dearly loved the Virgin Mary, and founded the Militia of the Immaculate, also known as the Militia Immaculate. He handed out hundreds of miraculous medals, and instilled in everyone the love of Mary to better come to love Jesus in the Eucharist. God blessed his works. Now there are several cities of the Immaculate Conception in the world, which are great Marian complexes. Some religious congregations have also been founded with his Marian spirit. And God continues to perform miracles through his intercession to demonstrate to the world that it was worth giving his life for his love. The light that shone in his heart, the light of faith, continues to shine in the world and attracts many non-Catholics to the true faith. When our saint was born, Poland did not exist as a nation. On August 5, 1772, Austria, Germany, and Russia had made a pact to divide up their territory. In 1793, the three powers made a second distribution according to their interests. The insurrection of the Polish people against Russia in 1794 was a failure, and in 1795, the third partition took place, and Poland disappeared from the map of Europe. In the occupied territories, the inhabitants were forced to lose their identity. The victors imposed their language, but the Poles fought with an indomitable spirit to maintain their language, their religion, and their culture against the dominating foreigners. The part where the parents of the future St. Maximilian Kolbe lived belonged to Russia. Poverty reigned in the country. Infant mortality was very high. Religious and intellectual education was basically received at home. Poland was able to rise from its ashes and recover the territories occupied by Austria and Germany after being defeated in the First World War. In 1924, the Poles defeated the Russian Red Army in the famous battle called the Miracle of the Vistula, and thus they recovered the territories occupied by Russia by the Treaty of Riga. A witness reports that in the camp there had been a custom of condemning 20 prisoners to death by starvation for one who escaped. Later, it was changed to condemn only 10 among those belonging to the block from which he had escaped. Another witness declared, "In 1941, a prisoner escaped from Block 14. In that block lived the prisoners who worked outside of the camp, and therefore, it was easier for them to escape." This was the third case of a prisoner escaping from that block. Only in three cases, the penalty of 10 prisoners destined to die for the escape of one of their companions was applied. Later, this penalty was abolished, and instead, they took their parents, or mother, or a cousin to the field, two people minimum. These people were placed at the entrance door of the camp, with a tablet that had writing on it referring to the case. The prisoners going to or from work had the opportunity to see these persons, who after being on their feet all day, were locked in the bunker to starve or were shot. Such punishments were intended to deter prisoners from escaping from the camp. St. Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in exchange for one of the prisoners named Francis, who had been listed among the 10 chosen for the bunker of death in place of the one who had escaped. A witness priest certifies that St. Maximilian Kolbe spontaneously left the line which was already enough reason for the death penalty, and with a loud voice and in correct German, he told the commander more or less this: "I am a Polish Catholic priest. I am old. Take me to die instead." The commander, after some thought, ordered the head of the list to cancel the number of the chosen prisoner and put in his place the number 16,670, in other words, the number of St. Maximilian Kolbe. After this was done, Francis returned to his line, while our servant of God, with the other nine, was taken to a dark underground bunker to starve. Francis, the saved one, relates what happened like this. A prisoner from our Block 14 had left, and we were lined up in 10 rows during the afternoon review. He was in the same row as St. Maximilian Kolbe. Three or four prisoners separated us. The camp commander, surrounded by the SS, approached and began to choose 10 prisoners to send to death because of the one who escaped. The commander pointed his finger at me. I got out of line, and a scream came out from me, saying that I wish I could live to see my children. After a moment, a prisoner stepped out of line, offering himself in my place. He approached the commander with his cap removed and said something to him in German. The commander agreed to the change and made me return to my row. Another one of the prisoners adds, "The commander had asked St. Maximilian Kolbe, when he offered himself in place of the other prisoner, 'Who are you?' And when answering that he was a priest, the commander told his companion, 'He is a priest,' and he answered, 'I accept.'" The sacrifice of St. Maximilian Kolbe made a great impression on the minds of the prisoners, because in the camp there were hardly any manifestations of love for one's neighbor. Normally, a prisoner refused to give another a piece of bread, and here one had offered his life for another unknown prisoner. Francis himself said in another statement, "When the commander chose me, I shouted, saying, 'How much it hurts me for my wife and my children, who I leave as orphans.'" These words were heard by St. Maximilian Kolbe. He left the line and approached the commander, trying to kiss his hand. The camp commander asked the interpreter, "What does this Polish pig want?" St. Maximilian Kolbe, indicating me with his hand, expressed his wish to die in my place. And the commander, with a wave of his hand, said, "Get out." And he ordered me to get out of the row. Another witness notes, "At that moment, I observed the servant of God helping one of the condemned men who could barely stand because he was weaker than him and could not walk on his own." Another witness states, "Before entering the bunker, they were made to undress. In other cells, there were already another 20 people who had been sentenced for a previous escape. Locking them up, the SS men said out loud, 'They will wither like tulips.' From that day, they received no food or drink. The SS came down every day to check on them and take away the corpses of the dead at night. I was always present at these inspections, because I had to write down the number of the deceased and translate any conversations with the condemned from Polish to German. In the cell, there was no window. It was completely dark, and there was a terrible stench. The floor was made of cement, without any furniture, just a bucket for natural needs." St. Maximilian Kolbe's gaze was penetrating, and when the SS entered, they could not hold his gaze and shouted at him, "Look at the ground, don't look at us." From the cell in which they were found, the recitation of prayers could be heard every day, specifically the rosary, and also songs that were joined by the prisoners from other neighboring cells. During the absence of the SS, I went to visit them in the bunker to talk with them and comfort them. The prayers and songs to the Virgin Mary, led by St. Maximilian Kolbe, resounded in all the cells. I seemed to be in a church. St. Maximilian Kolbe intoned, and the others responded in chorus. Sometimes, they were so immersed in prayer with their eyes closed that they did not hear the SS men who had come for the inspection, and only at their shouts did they fall silent. When the door opened, sometimes crying, they loudly asked for a piece of bread and a little water, and if someone approached the door, they kicked him in the belly and made him fall to the cement floor and die of the blow, or they killed him with a shot. They were so afflicted with thirst that they drank their own urine. St. Maximilian Kolbe remained calm, did not complain, and encouraged the others. Each day his prayers were made weaker, lower in voice. When the inspection arrived, the saint stood or knelt and looked at those who entered with a serene face. The SS men, knowing that he was dying for someone else, said, "The father is good. We haven't found another like him here." After 3 weeks, only 4 were left in his cell alive. And one of the days, they sent the director of the ambulatory, and this director injected each prisoner with carbolic acid in the left arm. St. Maximilian Kolbe was the last, and he himself put his left arm at his disposal. "Not being able to look at him, I left the cell. When the SS men left, I walked in and found him sitting, leaning against the wall, his eyes open and his head tilted to one side. His serene and pure face was radiant. When I had to take his body out of the cell and had already opened the door, I noticed that his very clean body was luminous. Anyone who had seen him would have said that he was a saint. His face glowed with serenity. By contrast, the bodies of the other prisoners were spread out on the floor, dirty and showing signs of desperation. With the barber on the block, I took his body to the laundry room, where we put it in a box and took it to the prison charnel house. In this way perished the hero priest of the Oswashim camp. He was burned in the crematorium with the other deceased prisoners, and his ashes disappeared among those of so many others. His death occurred on August 14, 1941, in the Auschwitz concentration camp. It was the eve of the Feast of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary into heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.